The story of the resurrection takes place in Luke chapter 24, but a few verses in Luke chapter 23 tells us that Jesus was buried on Friday, which was called the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. So the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how Jesus' body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested, according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find Jesus' body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified, and they bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. The women's message of good news was regarded as a bunch of nonsense. Did you catch that here in Luke's account of the resurrection? The women's message of good news about Jesus' resurrection is rejected by the apostles as nonsense. The women go down to the tomb to anoint what they think they will find there, a dead body. But when they get there, they receive a shocking revelation. Jesus' body isn't there. He has arisen. And a couple of angels meet them to speak to them and to make sure that the women understand exactly what has taken place. So the women, leaving the tomb, they are the first people called and sent to share the good news of the resurrection. In the other Gospels, this point is made a little more clearly, that the women are instructed to go and to tell the others. And that is what they do. They have a good news message to share. And when they share it with an audience that is probably the audience best and most prepared to hear that good news, to understand it, and to believe it. Jesus had literally been working with the disciples for years, to prepare them to hear the good news and receive it. He had told them directly that he would be rejected, arrested, that he would suffer and die, and then he would rise, resurrected. He had, in fact, told them several times. So the women take the good news message that they had received from the angels, and they are called and commissioned to share it. And in faithfulness to their calling, they share it with their audience, an audience most prepared by Jesus himself to hear and receive that message. And the result is that the disciples scoff at the message, regard it as nonsense, and we're told that they do not believe. They don't believe it. It's a fascinating reaction, isn't it? Luke tells us that the message seemed to be a bunch of nonsense. I looked into the Greek that Luke uses here. And the word that our English Bibles translate as nonsense, in the original Greek, the word is leros. The dictionary definition of that word can be nonsense, idle talk, even fairy tale. It can also be translated more bluntly to just mean trash or garbage. The women's story seemed like a bunch of nonsense, an idle tale, a fairy tale. It was just a bunch of garbage to the apostles. Now, normally when I study a word in the Bible, I find it really helpful to see how that word is used elsewhere in the Bible, Comparing how different biblical authors use the same word oftentimes helps us get an appreciation and an understanding of what that word means in context. So I looked up where this word leros is used elsewhere in the Bible. And the interesting thing is that here in Luke chapter 24, this is the only place in our Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that uses the word leros. This is the one and only place. So to get some perspective on this word, one of the reference books that I have in my office, it gave another example from a source outside of the Bible, just a normal letter written in Greek around the same time as the Bible was being written. And in this letter, the author uses the word leros. He's writing to a friend, and he's giving a report about a wedding banquet that he had recently attended, okay? It's interesting. It's like listening to my mom on the phone with her sister talking about a wedding, you know, feeling like, oh, well, here's what the wedding reception was like, right? So the one friend is talking about the food and the atmosphere at the banquet. And he says that at the wedding banquet, there was a flute player. And apparently the flute player wasn't very good because the author of the letter says that the music the flute player was playing was just a bunch of leros. It was garbage. It was just a bunch of nonsense. Just a bunch of idle notes. That, my friends, is how the apostles, Peter, James, and John, and the others, that is how they received the first presentation of the Easter message, that Jesus had arisen over sin and evil and death and the grave. To them, it sounded like a bunch of idle flute playing. My friends, sometimes I believe that we hesitate to share our faith, our experiences of God, and the good things that God has given to us and put in our lives and in our hearts. Sometimes we hesitate to talk about it and to share it with others because we fear that when we do, it will be received as a bunch of leros. We fear it'll be received as a bunch of nonsense. As you know, in the season leading up to this celebration on Easter, we've been exploring the idea of evangelism. I've been reading about evangelism. I've been preaching about evangelism in Bible study. We've been looking deeper into God's word when it comes to evangelism. We've been praying about evangelism, and we've been talking about it. The sense that I have from God is that God is calling us to learn more and to practice evangelism. Because there are people in the world around us who we can help. We can help them in a very particular way. We can help them by taking the good things that God has done in our lives, the things that God has taught us about God's love and God's presence and the power of community and church, and we can share that with others in such a way that this beautiful thing that we call faith can begin to grow and develop and be cultivated in other people's hearts as well. Like the women leaving the empty tomb on Easter morning, we carry a good news message. We have a message to go and to tell others what God has done in our hearts and in our lives. We have something good to share. We have a loving community here at church, a place to gather, to take a break from everything else that demands of us in our lives, and to be reminded that God loves us and that God is with us. We have the message of God's love, that God has promised to be with us no matter what, that we are not forgotten, that we are not forsaken, but that in Jesus Christ and his victory over sin and evil and death in Jesus, because of his death and his resurrection, we know that nothing can stand between us and the love that God has for us. God is with us, and being with us, God gives us peace in our times of trouble. God gives us guidance for the journeys of our lives. God takes our lives and makes them meaningful and full of purpose. God is with us, and God has knit us together in a family that because of the love of Christ and the victory of Christ, a family that will be together always in all eternity. And so like the women leaving the empty tomb on Easter morning, we are those who carry a good news message. And we also, like the women, have a calling to go and to share it and to tell others. But when it comes to actually meeting that calling, I know that we feel a great deal of hesitation. We worry how we and our message will be received. We worry that people will think, and we worry what people will think, and we fear a negative response. We worry that people might scoff at us, or think less of us, or be offended, or upset, or annoyed. We worry that it won't work, that we'll fail at our goal of sharing the good news. Essentially, we worry that people will regard us and our message as just a bunch of nonsense. And the good news in the resurrection story, the good news of Easter, is that we're not wrong. We're not wrong. Sometimes when we share the good news, it comes across as nonsense. The women who left the empty tomb, they were faithful to their calling. They delivered the message that they had been given to deliver to the audience that they had been sent to deliver it to. And while their message was first received as a bunch of nonsense, their declaration of the good news of Easter, it did begin the process of the apostles on their journey towards faith. We are told that the disciples didn't believe. And yet we also read in the story that Peter's curiosity was roused. Luke tells us that despite the fact that he regarded what the women had to share as nonsense, and he did not believe it, Peter still rose. He rose. He rose to take a look for himself. He rose to go and check on that empty tomb. And we are told that he left full of wonder. Peter heard the message of the resurrection, and while at first it sounded like a bunch of nonsense, it still got him out of his chair. It still got him on his feet. It still got him wondering for himself. The women had been faithful to their calling, and the process of their first audience in coming to faith, the process had begun in part because of those women's faithfulness to their calling. Of course, God continued to work on the faith of Peter and the apostles through other means and avenues as well. God doesn't just leave it all to the women's testimony and the response and wonder, their response of wonder and disbelief. God works on them through Jesus, who himself will soon appear to the apostles to guide them into a fuller understanding. And ultimately, God will also send the Holy Spirit, which further rouses faith and keeps it aflame in the hearts of the apostles and the members of the early church. The women were faithful to their calling, and the response that they get is negative. And yet for their audience, for the apostles, the journey towards faith has begun with the woman's faithful declaration. My friends in Jesus Christ, God has a message of grace for us this morning through the example of these women and the nonsense response which their good news received. We hesitate to share the message of Easter and our experience of God and faith with others because we worry that it will come across as nonsense. And we might not be wrong. We might not be wrong. People very well might think that we are peddling a bunch of nonsense when we show up to tell them about what God has done in our hearts and what we believe God can do in their hearts as well. We might not be wrong, because that's how Peter and the apostles responded to Mary and the other women. Mary and the other women who had just come from the empty tomb. They had just come from talking to angels. You know, when they shared that message for the first time, they were probably still glowing with the light and the glow and the warmth of those angels that they had just encountered. And still their message was received as nonsense. Now, I don't know what it is exactly. It's got to be something about our broken hearts, that the message of God's love is just so amazing and so powerful that our broken hearts seem to lag and struggle to accept it and believe it on first hearing. But that seems to be the case. It seems to be the case that when you share the good news, people's first response is to dismiss it. And yet sharing the good news is still our calling, and God can still use it, even when it is received as nonsense. My friends, this morning God invites us to learn from the model of the women. Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. And like the women leaving the empty tomb, we are called to share that good news, even if it is received as nonsense. And we are to trust that God will show up in people's lives to help them further on down the journey of their faith. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
So let us share that good news. And hopefully those with whom we share it, hopefully they, like Peter, will arise and begin to take a look for themselves. Thanks be to God. Amen.